Hallelujah. I saw a vision. I saw a vision this morning. Hallelujah. All around all those different cities where the Lord, beginning from Cleveland, all those cities where the Lord has directed us to plant churches, where seeds have been sown, anywhere a seed has been sown or a seed is about to be sown in the next year or two or few years, the Lord said, multitudes are going to come from the four corners of every one of those cities and fill our churches. Amen. God is going to use us to change nations, not only nations outside of the United States. He's going to use us to change communities in this nation. Communities, cities. Oh, my. Come on, let's laugh about that this morning. Let's laugh about multitudes. People are going to be standing in line to get into our sanctuaries. They're going to be standing in line. Cars are going to be parked all the way to the end of the roads, to the end of the streets, just to get into our communities, into our sanctuaries, into our meeting places all over this nation. Now listen to me. Somebody can hear that and say, oh, that's easy outside of the United States. Because it's easy outside of the United States. In third world countries where people are desperate for God. They see miracles, they just flock. You know that if you've been anywhere around the country, around the world. People are hungry. When they see God, nothing else matters. Some of them will stay in church to miss their next jobs because of their desperation for God. So people say, that's pastor, that's easy for that to happen outside of the United States. But in the United States, people have other gods. It's true. But this is the word of the Lord to you, Abundant Life. In every city, God is going to make this vision, this ministry, not just around the world. Yes, around the world is already happening. Those seeds are already going. They're happening. Praise God. Glory to God. But in the United States, that's the way he did it. That's the way he did it. When Jesus was born and Herod started his craziness, God woke up Joseph, the father of Herod, the father of Jesus, and said, take him to Egypt. Take him to Egypt. And while he was in Egypt, Herod was still crazy, but he couldn't hurt him. And God established that plan. As long as Herod couldn't kill him, as a baby, the plan is cooking. Thank you. They can't kill it. As long as that baby survives, we just need that baby to survive. We need that baby to grow up a little bit, to mature beyond the point where this crazy Herod is trying to kill him. Now, after that baby matured to that point, and the crazy Herod died, then God went and woke up Joseph again. Do you know this story in the Bible? God said to Joseph, now take him back. Take him back. So outside of the United States, the Lord planted the vision so that Herod can't kill it. And then the Lord said, I'm going to bring him back. He's coming back home. Now that he's strengthened, now that he's matured beyond where that crazy Herod can kill him, now we're going to bring him back. And that vision, that miracle is going to spread through the nation. Come on, let's thank God for that. Let's rejoice over that word. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice over that word. Let's give God praise for that word. Let's give God praise for that word. Let's thank God. Let's thank God for older people. Let's thank God for younger people. Let's thank God for youth. Let's thank God for children. Let's thank God for hand workers. Let's thank God for drivers, bus drivers, and custodians. And let's thank God for doctors and attorneys and accountants and business people and homemakers that God is going to send through the gates of abundant life in the United States to impact this nation. To impact this nation. Father, we give you praise in every city. In every city, we give you praise. In every city, in every city. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. So shall it be. We give him praise. We establish that word. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout a living hallelujah. Come on. If you are alive in this house, shout a living hallelujah. Come on. Shout a living hallelujah. Oh, my. God is up to something. Go ahead and be seated. God is up to something. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to skip over our 2025 confession so I can spend a little bit more time in the Word today. In this season of Jubilee praise and celebration. Amen. And I also don't want to, I don't want to drag the service. I really don't want to go long, but I believe there are a few things that the Lord would have us look into today. Just a couple of things. Did you join us for Elo last week? Were you blessed? Yes. Wasn't that a powerful, powerful service? Glory to God. Thank God. Thank God for all of our ministers. Thank God for everyone that serves to help us put those services together. Wasn't that a powerful word by Pastor Stella last week? The power of the believer. Power of the believer is powerful. God bless Pastor Stella. Amen. It's powerful. Now, many of you are aware that in our nation, there's quite a number of things going on. You know, it's especially I want to address the issue of the SNAP thing. It's a lot of families that depend on that. There may be no one around us here right now, people who lack in that way. But I just want to encourage you to lift up your eyes, okay? Don't be so tunnel visioned and so focused so much on just what you need, what you are believing God for, what you want the Lord to do for you, your own dreams, your own visions, your own aspirations. There's nothing wrong with that. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will meet your needs. But there are opportunities that God gives to us to lift up our eyes and to be a blessing to the community around us. And we may not have people within our congregation that are going through difficulties like that, but I really want you to lift up your eyes. And I'm going to say that again next week and the Thanksgiving service week. Just encourage you to, even after that is taken care of, you know, people are getting there, you know, it's just a lot of needs in our community. So let's be a blessing. Amen. Let's lift up our eyes and be a blessing. I also just want to say this. This doesn't have to be your burden, right? Doesn't have to be your burden. But as a ministry, as a church, we're looking for opportunities to be a blessing, right? So if you know people, you know, you just know these people are really going through a tough time. It's difficult. It's a family you know, somebody you encounter, and you wish that you could be a blessing to them. You could sow a seed to them, right? We're not too big on promoting monetary gifts, because sometimes you can give someone who lacks, you can give them money, and they may not buy food with it. They may not buy. They may go and buy something else with it. So we may be more strategic about that. Where, for instance, if there's somebody we want to help, somebody you know, somebody you think you know, we can make you a point of contact that helps us do some shopping for those people. We'll give you some money. You go out and get some groceries for them, and you bless them. Amen. Yeah. Instead of giving monetary things. Because sometimes you give somebody money, they need food, but they can go and use that money to buy the latest Air Jordans. You know? It's like it's the latest shoe, the latest bag. That's not what we're really looking for. We're looking for a way to be a blessing to people within our community. So I know way back then, some of you might remember this, way back then, years and eons of years ago, oh, glory to God. I love the journey. I just love it. Years ago, we used to collect things for, we had a target community in East Cleveland. How many people were here then? Remember that? We had a target community in East Cleveland. We used to collect a lot of things, food, and clothes and things. And we would pick certain Saturdays. We used to have an old church van back then. How many people remember our old church van? Oh, Lord, you're so amazing. And we used to fill that van with a lot of clothes and a lot of food. And we would drive, and a lot of people would actually cook. There's a lot of cooked food too, not just raw food. People actually cook. And then we used to rent a church, a particular church in East Cleveland, one of the churches there. We would meet there. That used to be our meeting place. And we used their kitchen to cook. Some of our people would set up food there. I think we may even have maybe contracted out. Or did our people do the cooking? I think we contracted out to have food cooked. And then we will go from door to door. We will go from door to door in East Cleveland and knock on doors and ask people to come meet us in that church where we were giving our clothes and food and all of that. And we did that actually for a while. Thank God that season passed. But while we did it, we gave it everything. And the season finally passed when I think the very final one we did, I just knew that was it. It was over then. But who knows? Maybe maybe in the future the Lord leads us to go back and do stuff like that in other cities too. I know for sure in Charlotte, in the Charlotte area, this is one of the goals of the Charlotte folks. They really want to do a lot of community outreach. It's awesome. I love it. And in some of these other cities too, I think we might go back and do a lot of that when the Lord releases us to do that. But I knew the last one, the very last time we did it, we had all this, we had our van full. We had taken time, we collected clothes, we bought food, we did all, everything was full. Our people came, all of our people were excited. And there we were, we had advertised and we asked the people to come. Very few of them showed up to even collect food and clothes. Then we started going to the homes where all these people who were needy were. They were all needy, we could see. And we knocked on the doors and they would open the doors and we could see how needy they were. And we would say, we have resources for you. We have food, we have clothes. Some of them would even give money, very rarely, but we give cash sometimes. And, the Bible says God is a friend of the poor. Amen. And when you give, is an eternal principle. Is an eternal principle in the heart of God. When you give to the poor, the Bible says you lend to the Lord. God doesn't want the poor to remain poor. But God wants to be able to sustain the poor until they are able to get out of their poverty. Which usually is not long. It's usually not long. If somebody stays under the influence of the world, so everything we do is not supposed to be perpetually to give handout. Because if you perpetually give handout, then what you are saying is you are condemning that person to live a poor life the rest of their lives. God didn't create anybody like that. That's why you should be careful Don't give permanent perpetual handouts. Amen. Don't give perpetual handouts. Give help to carry people. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he fed people with fish and bread and, you know, thousands of people, he fed them. But then what did he do? He taught them the word. And part of the word he was teaching them was to get them out of poverty. You don't have to stay poor. Amen. However, for them to even hear the word, if somebody is hungry, they can't eat. And you say, I want to preach the gospel to you, they won't even hear you. Let them. So there's a balance in this. We have to be very smart. There's a balance in this, right? It's never the will of God to close our eyes to the poor. In fact, in the scriptures, the Bible says you will always have the poor in the land. So part of what the Lord does is he gives, you know, you've ever read the story of the man Boaz? Boaz, he was this wealthy man who eventually married Ruth. He was the kinsman redeemer. And one of the blessings the Lord gave him was so wealthy, was so blessed, he was so rich. But one of the things he always did, he told his farmers, he told all the people working for him, when you harvest your crops, always leave a little. That's what he told them. See, you harvest your crops, bring a lot of it home, but always leave a little for the poor. Take care of the poor. Hallelujah. It's a problem right now because America is leaving a void all over the world. Right. We're pulling all our resources, pulling a lot of resources. These are resources. Now, of course, there's a lot of waste. With everything you... Anytime you give things to people that they don't work for, there will be waste. Sometimes there'll be corruption sometimes. Some people will steal. But always remember, the good always outweighs the bad. Amen? We must never, because of the possibility of being taken advantage of, because of the possibility of people, God bless you, people doing wrongly with the things that we give, then close our hands. We must never do it. It's a principle. It's an eternal principle. In fact, one of the scriptures Paul quoted, if somebody can find me that scripture, somewhere in the Acts, he was talking to the leaders of the church. He said, for the Lord Jesus Christ used to say, he said it. Now, we don't have the scripture where the Lord said it, but Paul quoted it. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And he was telling them to always remember the poor. Somebody can find that scripture. Find it for me. Acts 20. Okay, somebody, can you put it up for me? Emma, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's awesome. Wow, that's wow. How'd you get that? AI, there you go. Look at that. I have showed you, I love it. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And this is a theme that runs right through the Bible and right through the New Testament and Old Testament. In one other place, he was telling them, you know, as they were giving instructions to the church and things, he said to them, I want you to make sure you always take care of the poor. Always take care of the poor. It is an eternal principle in the heart of God. Amen. So in our season, the season where we are today, there's so many opportunities. Don't be so tunnel visioned. Yeah, you are just always looking at you and your children and your goals and your dreams. Oh, lift up your eyes. Amen. It's one of the scriptures we read last week in Isaiah. He said, lift up your eyes, Isaiah 40. Lift up your eyes. Always. And the Lord told Abraham so many times, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Because as long as you are, number one, it limits you. When you are tunnel vision, it limits you. You are very limited. When you are tunnel vision, you can't see big. You can't see. That's why sometimes I like for people to travel. Because when you travel, you see things. It's one of the things I enjoy the most when I travel around the United States. I've traveled pretty much around most of the United States. And I say to people, this nation is so beautiful, but most people who don't travel can't tell. You can't see. This nation is so beautiful. And sometimes sometimes you drive some of our trips, we drive through small town America, sometimes we drive through big cities. You see the beauty of the nation. It's amazing. So when you are tunnel vision and you are always focused in one tiny little place and you don't see much, you are limited. Because that caps your vision. Part of what we're teaching, I didn't plan all this, so I have a message today. My message is a powerful message. It's a powerful message. It's titled, Incredible Praise for Incredible Things. That's my message. Incredible praise for incredible things. So that's my message. I got to get to it. But since the Holy Spirit has me here. Sometimes when we're teaching on Wednesdays, your mind responds to your words, but it also responds to the things you see. Right? How many of you remember the fourth or the fifth step to renovating your mind? We talked about take control of your headspace. Take control of your headspace. And your headspace, there are three major things that control the thoughts that fill your headspace. There are three major things. The first one is what? The teachings you receive. The teachings you receive. The second one is your observations. The things you see. The things you focus on. The things you look at. The things that have your attention. And the third one is your associations. Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. The people around you can affect the way your mind thinks. In fact, in this one we're studying right now, which is watch the words of your mouth. Right? The words you hear, whether other people are saying it to you or you are saying it to yourself, the words you speak and the words you hear affect your mind. They affect your mind. There's a precious couple. I won't mention their names, but we had a meeting. I had a counseling meeting with them in the Charlotte area, and while I was waiting for them in the office, I was sitting down praying over the meeting that I had with them. They were. In fact, the husband was already out. He called me. He's here early. Can he come in? I said, no, I'm not ready for you because I was not ready. I said, when your wife comes, you guys call me, but I won't be ready until the time that we actually agreed on. But as I was praying, the Holy Spirit brought this scripture to me. I wasn't praying over this. I was getting ready for the meeting that I had with them. I'm praying over that. And the Holy Spirit brought this scripture to me in Acts chapter 14. I think it's a scripture. I probably maybe would have it in my next teaching. Where the Lord, how people, their minds, some people believe the words that Paul was preaching, was Paul and Barnabas were teaching and preaching. And they were so excited. They received the word. They were so excited. They were glory to God. They were so excited. And then these people came. These adversaries. I don't know what you want to call them. They came from another city. They were Jews. They came from another city. And they came into this city where Paul and Barnabas were teaching. And people were excited to receive the word. And these people who came from another city started to speak words against what Paul was teaching and against Paul and Barnabas himself. And the Bible tells us, because of the words these people were speaking, the minds of these people became poisoned. I think it's Acts chapter 2. I'm not, chapter 14 verse 2. I'm not sure if that's the scripture. You can put it up if you find it. It says their mind became poisoned. They embittered. One version says their mind became embittered. Is it 14 verse 2? Look at it. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their mind evil affected against the brethren. I'm not sure what translation it is that says their minds were poisoned. Can you find that for me? Is it New King James? Do we have New King James? New Living too? Maybe New Living Translation? Oh, look at that one says, yeah, look at it. It's some of the Jews are, yeah, just stay on one of them. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Poisoned their minds. These are people who were receiving, they were there sitting down receiving the word of God. They were being blessed. Their lives were being elevated. As they were receiving the word of God, their lives were going up. Their lives were going up. Their lives were going up. Suddenly, all these vagabonds came from another city. Out of jealousy. They didn't stand to gain anything from it. But out of jealousy, they came and by speaking words, and you know they were not speaking good words. By speaking negative words, they poison the minds. And when your mind becomes poisoned, you lose your ability to receive. It may be something beneficial for you. It may be something that can change your life. It may be something that can translate you from Lodiba to the palace that God has prepared for you. But when your mind becomes poison, then there are barriers that are created in your mind so you can't receive what God has for you. You can't claim your inheritance. You know what the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 32? Paul said, "And I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified." It is the word of his grace. Now, if while you are receiving the word of his grace, you have wrong associations that are speaking negatively about the word you are receiving, that word of his grace is what enables you, look at that scripture, what enables you to receive your inheritance. When somebody comes and creates barriers in your mind and poison your mind so that you can't receive the word of his grace, then what does that mean? You are disqualified from that inheritance that you were supposed to receive. Sometimes people say, "Pastor, does it take all this?" It does. It does. See how jealous God is over protecting us. Sometimes you're about to get into a wrong association, wrong relationship, wrong business, whatever. God said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Why? Because God is trying to protect us. God is trying to protect us. Some say, "But I'm strong. I'm strong enough. I think I can." Yeah. But you know what? There's a principle. It's so much easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull somebody up. So the words we hear, I don't know how I got here. The spirit, I know he led, but I don't know where I was coming from. I know he led. He definitely led, because you can tell this is like I'm following a trail, and I don't know how I got there. So it's not me. Hallelujah. But the words you hear are so powerful. Glory to God. All right, let's go back to the poor. God wants us to help the poor. Amen. And when the access point he gives us a lot of times is be a blessing. Sometimes when you are a blessing to the poor, to the needy, it opens the door for you to be able to bring the gospel. But that's the key. That's the goal. The goal is not for us to make people perpetually dependent on us. The goal is not for us to, like I tell my pastor, Pastor Ashish in India, you know. Our goal is not, so in the next step, we're going to Pastor Ashish. If you are hearing me, hear me. If you are there, I don't know if you are there, but you hear this later. When we get past where we are right now, where we're doing everything that the Lord has us to do, the time is coming, then we are going to start demanding of you and demanding of your community and demanding of the churches and demanding of the people that you are ministering to take a step of faith and put to work the word that we're ministering to them. The same way we believe God and we sow seeds to receive harvest, we're going to ask them to sow seeds and receive harvest. Amen. So that they are not perpetually needy. Amen. They are not perpetually like, every time you talk about, oh, let's believe God, let's sow so that we can receive a harvest. There are some people with a mindset that believe, well, that's for them. For me, I'm one of the ones that receive. So give to me. Nobody. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. All of us, whether you are needy, whether you are poor, wherever you are, all of us should be working hard to get out of our area of neediness so that we can become givers. So we can become givers. The ones who are receiving today should be the ones giving tomorrow. Nobody should be a lifetime receiver. Like, yeah, just help me. Yeah, you can receive help for a short period of time. But no, I know this is the Holy Spirit because I didn't plan any of this today. The Lord did not plan for anyone to be a perpetual receiver. All of us, to receive for a short period of time is to help us receive empowerment so that we can rise up to a place where we can also become givers. That's how the kingdom moves forward. Right? Jesus raised fishers of men. He told Peter, from now you will not catch fish, you catch men. How will he catch men? How will he catch men? By using the same principle that Jesus used to catch him. He will now use the same principle to catch other people. Amen. What was the principle? Jesus gave him a miracle. He couldn't catch fish. Jesus gave him a miracle. From receiving a miracle to become a wealthy businessman, now, Peter said, Jesus, I'm so astonished by what you have done. I want to serve you the rest of my life. Jesus said, okay, good. From now on, you'll be a fisher of men. And remember, when they got to Get Beautiful, there was a blind man there. Lame man. Peter said to him, silver and gold, I don't have. Remember, he used to be wealthy. But now he says, silver and gold, I had. So that means what I came to give to you now is more than silver and gold. Oh, glory. Ooh, glory to God. Ooh, God is preaching. What I came to give to you is more than silver and gold. What I came to give to you will change your life. There's a time to give silver and gold, but then there's a time to give something that is more than silver and gold. Ooh. 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 So let's use this as an opportunity to be a blessing to our communities. Lift up your eyes. Look around you. There are people. You don't have to take the burden. Then I say, oh, pastor, you know, my money doesn't stretch beyond 1 month. Once I've paid all my bills, I don't even have enough to save, you know, put aside. Fine, let us know. Reach out to us. All right? Reach out to us. Send a message to our pastors. Say there's a family we're trying to help or somebody we're trying to bless. But it'll be a blessing if the church can help us so that we can bless them. And then they will escalate it to us. And we'll find a way and get you those resources. We'll believe God and get you that silver and gold. But our goal is to get them to a place where they need, where what they need is no longer silver and gold. What they need is the gospel. Hallelujah. And it's the gospel that changes lives, my friends. It's the gospel that changes lives. You can feed people all you want, but if they don't have the gospel, they will remain perpetually poor. Hallelujah. Amen. It is the word that changes our lives. Amen. Listen to your mother, Ebune. It is the gospel that changes lives. Right? It is the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Outside of the gospel, lives are not changed. Outside of the gospel, God can't help people. So our goal, we can start with material help, but our goal is to get them the gospel. Yeah. And at some point, so with the story I was telling you with East Cleveland, you know, at some point we said, okay, that's it. Because all the food we took, all the food we cooked, all the food, all the clothes, everything, we had to take a lot of it back. And we were looking for people who could use them within the church and give them, that was it, that was it. At some point, you have to draw the line and say, that's it. And we haven't been back to East Cleveland since then. And we won't go back unless the Lord says, go. This is not just a principle for people that you don't have a relationship with, people you don't know. It's the same principle we operate in our families. Same principle we operate in our family, right? We're not raising perpetual receivers. There's a point where we draw the line. Close family members, extended family members. There are people that are all over the world. That's why I don't have great footprint on social media. And if you ever see me do anything there, you won't see me put a lot of personal things there. Because the moment I put something there, the whole world. And you have no idea. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you the truth. Oh, appeal. This one broke down. Oh, we need money here. Oh, anything, sir, you will never see. All you see me put on social media is gospel. Most of the once in a while, I might just veer off and put something personal. Very, very, very rarely. Because it's almost like there are some paparazzis there. That when, if they see anything, the next, I'm telling you, this is the truth. So many times we have to draw the line. We'll help, we'll send this, we'll give that. But at a point, we say, stop, that's it. Thank you, Jesus. What have we done? We've bought cars for people. Around the country, around the world, I mean. I can't even talk about it. And at some point we say, that's it. That car we sent you, we gave you, it's almost a brand new car. Start Uber business with it. Do something with that car. You can't get that car and still ask me for money. No. We cut the line. We draw the line. So, I don't know why I'm going through all this today, but the Holy Spirit wanted me to say all this. And I'll still preach at least 10 or 15 minutes of my incredible praise. I work all night on this message. I have to preach at least 10 minutes. The message I work all night on, I've not even preached yet. The one I did not even I did not prepare at all. That's the one I've been talking for 30 minutes now. I'm just yielded to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So yeah, well, that's it. So we haven't been to East Cleveland since then. It's a line was drawn. That's it. So, and same thing, Pastor Ashish, if you are still there, there's a point coming. I'm telling you right now, prepare for it. There's a point coming when we're going to start making demands on you. Like I told Pastor Brian in Charlotte, this Thanksgiving service we're doing, everybody's participating. From church, from Charlotte Church, from your bank account, I know all their details. Get corporate seed. No, it's the truth. Amen. That's the way we're set up. Get personal seed. Everybody says, you know, we don't raise money, we don't beg money, we don't. But there are times when God gives instruction. Everybody is a part of it. Everybody. So both from your corporate account and your personal account, as the Lord leads you, send seed in for Thanksgiving. We're all a part of it. It's a direct instruction. So, but we've never required people outside of the country, outside of the United States, whoever, we're always giving to them. We're always giving and always giving. And I'm telling you right now, there's a point coming because our goal is to get you the gospel. Our goal is to help you take the gospel around your community, just like we are mandated to do. So there's a point coming when we're going to start asking you to sow a seed. We ask your people. They may say, oh, all we have is rice. We are farmers. All we have, we don't have. Yes, sow that seed. Amen. Sow whatever it is you have. God is not asking you to give what you don't have. We're not going to eat your basmati, whatever the rice is. We're not going to eat it here. They won't, before they transfer it here, it will be spoiled. It's not we're asking you to send it to the United States. That's not, no, it's a spiritual principle. That you will sow a seed. Children, with our children, sow seed. It's the way we raise our children. I remember one restaurant we went in Missouri. Remember? We went to this particular restaurant in, I think it was Branson, Missouri. And, you know, we had years and years and years ago. And, you know, Edie had just, it was 20, somebody gave him $20 or whatever it was. And we had a good time in this restaurant. It was a buffet. You know, I think it was, what's that restaurant called? Golden Corral. I don't know if those restaurants still exist anymore, where you go in and you can eat all, you know, so there, that we had very little money, but we ate all we could. When we finished, when we came out of that restaurant, we started stretching, we stretched our hands, to make room for the food to kind of settle down and sink in down. And, you know, but while we were in that restaurant, we met a pastor. One of the people that was waiting on us was an older gentleman who was a pastor. Much older pastor, much older gentleman. And like I usually do, I started a conversation when he came to wait on us at the table. I started asking him questions. I'm like, how are you? And blah, 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 blah. And he said, well, I used to be a pastor, but, I couldn't, whatever. He told us the story. And it was not a very good story. So we prayed for him. We blessed him. And after we finished eating and we were making our way outside of the restaurant, Edie went and met he just excused himself from our group. He went and met the pastor and gave him the $20 somebody gave him. When he came back to join our party, he said, where did you go, son? Oh, he said, I just wanted to talk to the pastor. Yeah? What about? He said, the Lord put it in my heart to bless him. You don't have anything. You don't have anything. Say, yes, somebody gave me $20. You gave him the whole $20? Yes. Glory to God. That's good. That's very good. That's really good. So at some point, the receiver becomes the giver. Amen. You walk your way out of that poverty. You walk your way out of it. You, by faith, you are aggressive, spiritually aggressive, physically aggressive, aggressive with your faith until you change your position. That's it, the power is changing hands. You are no longer a beggar. You are now a giver.
You are no longer the one who is begging everybody, please give me, give me. You are now the one who say, hey, you come to me, you send me a message one of these days, Pastor, I just want you to know the Lord put it in my heart to bless the ministry. Yeah. Really? And I'm looking at you like, you? Yes, me. Power is changing hands. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I used to be a beggar, but now I'm a giver. I used to be a broke, but now I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Woo! Come on, somebody, give the Lord a praise. You people are too quiet. Give the Lord a jubilee praise. Stand to your feet. Give the Lord a jubilee praise, somebody. Come on. Come on, give the Lord a jubilee praise. Woo! Come on, give him one more jubilee praise. Woo! Hallelujah. Sit down. Let's take 10 minutes in this message. 10 minutes. Incredible praise for incredible things. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When you sow a seed of praise, when you sow a seed of laughter, even though you have nothing to laugh about, even though you have very little to praise about, but when you sow a seed of praise, when you sow a seed of laughter, God will help you reap a harvest of joy. You will reap a harvest of joy. Amen. When out of your need, you are praising God. When out of the sad situation around you, you are giving God aggressive praise. God will turn around your situation so that you can reap a harvest of joy. Incredible praise for incredible things. Put up for me real quick, Luke chapter 5, verse 26. Let's put it up in the Amplified. Luke chapter 5, verse 26. Look at that scripture. And overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all. And they recognized and they praised and they thanked God. They recognized and they praised and they thanked God. That's incredible praise, my friends. When you can look beyond what you are seeing and what's going on around you. When you can look now, these people in this scripture, they were praising because of what they could see. The miracle had already happened. But I won't be able to get to the end of my message today. Where God is calling us to not be like people who wait until we see before we praise. In fact, I'm going to jump several steps and go there and close out in that particular scripture today. Overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all. And one, they recognize. Two, they praise. Three, they thank God. When you can recognize what has God done for you, Sometimes you ask people, what has God done for you? They say, I have to think. You have to think? That means you have not recognized. You have to think. I thought you got up from your bed this morning. You are in your sound mind. Hallelujah. You walked into your shower. You came out. You dressed yourself up. You looked in the mirror. Hallelujah. You walked on your 2 feet. That's you who did all of that. Do you recognize that the reason you were able to do all of that is because God has been good to you? There's so many people on a hospital bed. They can't get up. They can't lift a finger. They can't lift a leg. There was a man in the White House earlier this week while they were doing a presentation on pharmaceuticals, standing in the line right there with the president sitting in the Oval Office, standing in the line right there, he started to slump. Did you read this story? Executives who have all the money in the world, who know all the information, he's standing right there in the highest office in the land, and he lost all his power. They lowered him. They had to lift up his leg. The physician who lifted up his leg, he said, I lifted it up so that to help him with his blood pressure. You know, you medical people, you know how this works. So that he will not, so that to help him. You walk around in your sound mind, in your able body. You get on the phone, you can make a call in your sound mind. You lift up your food, your plate of food. You put your spoon in it, your fork in it. You can take it out to your own mouth in your sound mind. You don't need somebody to hold your hand. Jesus, Jesus. You don't need somebody to hold your hand to pick the food, to pick the food and help you guide the hand back to your mouth because you are so needy, you can't do it. You did it yourself. Do you recognize how much of a miracle that is? We ought to be praising him every day. We ought to be thanking him every day, every day, every day. He's our incredible God. He has done incredible things. We ought to be giving him incredible praise every day, every day, every day. There must never be a word of complaint out of our mouth. We must never, ever be found complaining. Ever. Thank you, Lord. Our incredible God deserves our incredible praise. All the things he has done for us. We are living, walking miracles. We are living, walking miracles. Hallelujah. Do you recognize it? What God has done for you. All these years. That's why we told you to compile a list, not just of 2025. All these years. Can you remember all the things that God has done in your life? Do you recognize it? That you are where you are today because of the goodness of the Lord. It's not because you are so smart. It's not because you did everything right. It's not because you were perfect in all your ways. It's because we serve an incredible God, and our incredible God deserves incredible praise. And when you give our God, when you give our God incredible praise, our God will do incredible things in your life. Woo! Hallelujah. When you give our God incredible praise, our God will do incredible things in your life. Things that will cause the ears of men all over the world to tingle. People will look at it and say, that's amazing. That is just amazing. That is just amazing. That is just amazing. They said, that's incredible. That is incredible. Yes, I know. It's incredible. Amen. That's how our incredible God works. when you give our God an incredible God, incredible praise, he does incredible things. I said he does incredible things. You didn't hear me. I said our incredible God will do incredible things when you give him incredible praise. Sit down. Let's close this out. Hallelujah. Do you recognize every day when you wake up, the breath in your lungs? Jesus. That you go out and you come in and you are safe. One of our deaconesses and her husband shared with me, shared with us after our anniversary, our celebration. As she was driving, and on a Sunday, on an accident, somebody rammed into her. The car flipped and turned facing the traffic. It's a miracle. She didn't have a scratch. The car was not totally damaged. It's a miracle. Her husband said to me, if it had been a bigger vehicle, there would have been something else we'd be talking about. Do you recognize how the Lord shields you every day? How he keeps you every day? Somebody said, Pastor, but I just lost my job. Really? You just lost your job. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know before you lost one job, he already prepared the right one, the next job for you? Before you lost one, he already opened the door for you to get another one. The door is already open. If you will just walk through that door, do you recognize how much he cares for you? How much he loves you? Do you recognize? In one scripture, I think it's Psalm 139. He said, my thoughts for you are innumerable. David said, he said, God's thoughts towards me are countless. I can't number them. I can't number them. Hallelujah. And we know from Jeremiah 29:11, these innumerable thoughts are good thoughts. They're good thoughts. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They're thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. Do you recognize a God that can love mere mortals as much as he loves us? Must be an incredible God. Who deserves incredible praise? He is. He is. So let's come out of the camp. Let's close. It's already one. Let's get out of the camp. Let's get out. Let's go outside to where Jesus is. Come on. Let's do it different from the way the Old Testament saints did it. Let's do it different from the way the modern day church does it. Who only prays because they think they see things that are worthy of praise. No, let's praise continually. Let's praise every day. I didn't get to the end of Luke 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They were filled with and controlled by reverential fear. And they kept saying, we have seen wonderful and strange and incredible and unthinkable things today. Strange things. That's your word, right? Paradoxus. Paradoxus. That's your word. We've seen strange and incredible things today. Strange and incredible things. Strange and incredible things. Well, let's go outside of the camp. Let's read one last scripture. Go to Hebrews 13:15. Let's read one last scripture. So we can close and go home. Before we close, I'm going to get you to stand up and you're going to praise and laugh and shout. And before I close, we're going to give one more sacrifice of praise. Woo, to our incredible God. I said to our incredible God, the God who cooks in the oven when no man can see Hallelujah. And people don't know what he's preparing for your future. They just keep looking at you and they keep wondering, why are you so full of joy? Why are you always so happy? They don't understand what you understand. They don't recognize what you recognize. That your incredible God, he has things cooking in the oven, in the supernatural oven, preparing for your destiny, the glory that he has prepared for your future. Hallelujah. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not yet entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Let's close out in Hebrews 13 verse 15. Look at it right there. Let's read that first in the Amplified. Then I'm going to have you switch that. Let's read that in the Message, because I want to give you a little context to this just as I close. Through him, therefore, he says, let us constantly and at all times. Say those words with me. Constantly and at all times. Say those words with me one more time. Constantly and at all times, offer up unto God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Constantly. The King James says continually. Continually. Constantly. And at all times. Offer up. Thank you. Offer. Look at it. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually. 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 This is what makes us different. This is what makes us different. We're different from the Old Testament saints, because what they did was their own sacrifices were sacrifices of bulls and goats. They would take those bulls and goats outside of the camp. They had to go outside of the camp to kill those animals and offer them. And Jesus, in fulfilling prophecy and lining up the eternal plan of God, also went outside of the camp in giving up his life for you. He went outside of the camp to Calvary to give up his life for you, to shed his precious blood. And the Lord is saying to you and to me, let us join Jesus. Let's go to him outside of the camp. Let's be different. Let's be different from the Old Testament saints. We don't need to bring the blood of goats and bulls. We don't. No, no, no. Let's be different from the modern day church. We shouldn't be thanking God only when we think we see things. Yeah. Oh, look at what the Lord has. Oh, hallelujah. No, no, no. There's nothing wrong with that. We should praise him too for those. Actually, a lot of times, that's the basis of our praise initially. But for you to praise continually, you have to go beyond that. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? Look at what the Message says in verse 15. And we're going to read just a few verses before verse 15 in the Amplified. But let's read this in the Message. Look at this. Let's take our place outside with Jesus. No longer pouring out the sacrificial blood of animals, but pouring out sacrificial praises, shatter, from our lips to God in Jesus' name. Let's take our place outside. Let's be different. Let's be different. Somebody say, let's take our place outside with Jesus. Let's be different. Let's be different. Say one more time. Let's take our place outside with Jesus. Let's be different. Let's be different. Let me show you a little context here just as I close. Back up to verse 11. And let's read all of those verses in the Amplified. 11 back to 15. Let's read so you can see some context here. Verse 11 in the Amplified. Look at that. Thank you so much. For when the blood of animals is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin, the victim's bodies are burned outside the limits of the camp. Verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also suffered and died outside the city's gate in order that he might purify and consecrate the people through the shedding of his own blood and set them apart as holy for God. Verse 13. Let us then go forth from all that will prevent us to him. Let's go to him outside the camp at Calvary, bearing the contempt and abuse and shame with him. Verse 14. For here we have no permanent city, but we are looking for the one which is to come. Verse 15. Let us then, through him, let's constantly and at all times offer unto God a sacrifice of praise. Let's be different. Like the message said, let's go to Jesus outside the camp. Let's be different. Let's be different from the world around us. Let's be different from the world around us. They have to see to give God praise. Let's be different. Let's give God praise continually. Let's be different from the Old Testament saints who brought the blood of goats and bulls. No, God is not asking us for the blood of bulls and goats. He's asking us for the lips, the sacrifices of our lips continually. Continually. And in a season of jubilee praise like this, to be very incredible about it, to give him incredible praise, to give him incredible praise, to give him aggressive praise, where people say, what is it about you? And you just go, I serve an incredible God. I serve an incredible God. And they look at you and like, you are still broke. Your car broke down yesterday. But I still serve an incredible God. We saw you. You were struggling to pay your light bill yesterday. Yes, but I still serve an incredible God. And this incredible God has some things in the oven cooking right now. You can't see it. You can't see it. But my incredible God has some things in the oven. And I'm praising him. And I will keep praising him until the manifestation of those things that he's preparing for me. Can you go with me outside of the camp this morning as we close this service? Everybody, can you go with me outside of the camp? Outside of the regular thinking of man. Can you step outside of that traditional religious thinking? Can you go with me to Jesus? I'm going to need some music to praise here. Something, anything is good. Can you get up from your seats wherever you are? If you are here in the sanctuary, if you are at home, can you stand to your feet? I want you to shake yourself up and get ready to give God some incredible praise. I want you to assume for a minute that there's nobody around you, nobody's seeing you, nobody's watching you. And if they are watching you, God bless them. You don't really care about it. Can you take a minute and prepare yourself? I want you to give God a sacrifice of praise this morning. As I close, I want you to give God incredible praise. Some of you, your incredible praise might need for you to run a little bit. Some of you, your incredible praise might need for you to jump a little bit. Some of you, your incredible praise might need for you to laugh a little bit. Some of you, your incredible praise might need for you to just keep clapping and praising the Lord. Whatever incredible praise means to you, come on, go ahead, everybody. Let's give our incredible God our incredible praise. Go ahead and bless his name. Come on, help me. Go right ahead. I'm not going to stop you for a few minutes. Go ahead and give him incredible praise. Come on, go ahead. Thank you for the music. Hallelujah. Go right ahead, do it. I don't see anybody jumping. All right. Yeah. I don't mind if you want to sing the song. Come on.
Bless the Lord.
Go ahead, come on.
Bless the Lord. Worship
Christ the Lord and bless his name,
his holy name.
Declaring this, come bless the Lord. Praise him. Oh, let them praise him. Rejoice in the Lord.
see you dancing. Come on, somebody. Am I the only one that knows this incredible God? Come on, somebody.
Oh, that man will praise him.
Oh, that man will praise his name. Praise his name to the ends of the earth. Oh, that man would praise his name. Would praise his name to the ends of the earth. Oh, that man would praise his name. Would praise his name to the ends of the earth. Oh, that man would praise his name. And again I say, again I say, oh, that man would praise his name. Praise his name to the ends of the earth. Oh, that man would praise his name. Would praise his name to the ends of the earth. Oh, that man would praise his name. Would praise his name to the ends of the earth. Oh, that man would praise his name.
And again,
again I say, again I say, and again I say, again I say, and again I say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, again I say, rejoice. 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 Rejoice.
Shout hallelujah. Come on, shout seven hallelujahs. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, our God. We bless your holy name. You alone deserve our praise. You alone deserve our glory. You alone. You alone. You alone, Jesus. Somebody do me a favor. Let's just, before we close, before we share the grace, let's follow the Holy Spirit here. I don't know what you've already written down. I don't know what you have already recognized, some of the goodness of the Lord in your life over the years. I want you to take a couple of minutes and just verbalize definitely those things that you have recognized God has done in your life through the years. I don't want to hear any silent voices. I want you to lift up your voice and just count them. The Bible says, the psalmist said, count your blessings and name them one by one. I want you to lift up your voice and just verbalize and just articulate and just thank God and just thank God. God, you did this and you did this and you did this and you did this and you did that and you did that and you did that too. You did that one too. You did all that, Lord. You did all that. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless your name.
Thank you, Lord, for your continuous.
We give you praise. We give you the glory. You alone deserve our honor. You alone deserve our worship. You alone do. You alone do. We bless and we magnify your holy name. We bless and we magnify your holy name.
Thank you.
Sita prekesita. Zite peri pakuza tadish de predis etenima kuvasike ze preniga vadubo sapre le preniga da sopra le predike soto ninga monster non predia lo prekiza tande jete dika groti pakava sonta zepre zetini megavo sate nemekesh le prediva kos kanange pori pakazite ze prediva kombra dike se zoto lo shitaba Mitediara, loporini megas, mosite higabasota, zotani mekeve sutobesa, zepreniga vas otomongra, dekeviria takozo, zika monka, gekevis, loparipa kuza, denimekeve so, seperipa, zotonima kange, kopredia kabus, dideviri pakus, labredika vonsa, non preningada, zotonigava, opanikebo, repekosa, zipreniaga, hostaninga. Zotoripa, zopredi, zenkedis, lopredika zanta, zotoninga, gopreniga vas, loprediga, hopreninga debus, lopredix, brenika sontanigesh. We bless your holy name, O God. We bless your holy name. You alone are deserving of our glory and our praise. You alone are deserving of our honor. You alone are deserving of our worship. We magnify your holy name. We magnify your holy name. Prekedisi prodisce te dediviso prodiasa. Le predive che neme covorudia papare che debos. Ne predive che si capradisce. Le prenia gava sonto no cosapra. Li predike vesonto cabradi e sheteni geveria paba zoto non gradike se predi zoto non braninge deves lo praniga va soto non ide geveria la pradiva cobra cabasote mambre che debe soprediva che seke jita la la babo sopre le preniga va basoto nomon così kamangashi. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. You're worthy of our honor. We bless you, Father. We thank you so much, Jesus. 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 We thank you. Thank you, Lord.